book of Psalms, Psalm 103. And in the Gospel of Luke, you find your way there in chapter 17. Psalm 103 and Luke 17. We'll get to both of those in just a minute. We're grateful and thankful for the pretty decorations, the holiday decorations put up. We appreciate the ladies working so hard on that. They spent many hours on Friday doing that, so we appreciate that as well. If you find your place there in Psalm 103, please stand with me. Reverence to the Word of God, and we'll read a couple verses here. The song we just heard certainly sets up the theme of this morning's message. In Psalm 103, in the verse 1, the psalmist writes and he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Then we turn over to the Gospel of Luke. We begin reading in that 17th chapter in verse 11. And we find some that forgot His benefits. We read, beginning in verse 11, Luke 17. "It came to pass, as He," that is Jesus, "went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when He saw them, He said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Father, we bow before You, thanking You for Your Word. I'm thanking You, Father, for this reminder to our hearts that we not forget to give You the praise, the honor, the glory for all of Your benefits to us. Not the least, of course, is our salvation, our deliverance from sin in Jesus Christ. So, Father, we ask You in His name, the lovely name of our Savior, that You be pleased to work in our midst in this hour. Use the Word of God to deal with us, challenge us, encourage us. Father, if the need be to save, and we will, Father, thank You, give You the glory for what You are going to do here today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Of course, may be seated. Well, Thanksgiving is over, but our giving of thanks is not. We should live to give thanks unto our God. And I surely trust you had a good time with your family and your friends. I know Marcia and I had a wonderful day. I was totally and completely fed up at my daughter's house. Not with them, but with the food that they supplied. It was wonderful. Beloved, we have a great God, don't we? We have a great God who gives and gives and gives to us. He always, and as we heard sung, He is always so good and so even more than generous to meet our needs. Every need reminds me of a story I read several years ago about a little boy. He was in need of $100. That's a lot of money for a little boy. And he felt he needed it badly. And he prayed about that. He asked the Lord that God might be pleased to supply that $100. But after a couple weeks, nothing happened. He says, well, maybe I'll write God a letter. So he wrote him a letter requesting that $100. And when the post office received the letter, it just was addressed to God, USA of all places. That was interesting. Well, they decided they'd forward that letter, the boy's letter, on to the President of the United States. The President at that time was so impressed and he was amused that he instructed his secretary to write the boy a check for $50. Send that $50. I'm sure that's going to be a lot of money to that little boy. Well, the little boy received the $50 and he was sure thankful for it. He immediately sat down to write a thank you note to God. And here's how that thank you note went. Dear God, thank you very, very much for sending me the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you had it sent through Washington, D.C. And as usual, those thieves took half of it. Oh, that says a lot, doesn't it? I'm thankful that there are no middlemen. There's no bureaucracy in God's administration, as He so wonderfully does for us. But on the other side of that, it's easy for us to take those blessings from God for granted. He does so much for us that we can get to the place where we just expect that He's going to do for us. The fact, beloved, that we have a Father in heaven that enjoys giving gifts to His children. It's just like a loving human father, only better. He enjoys giving to us. The Lord Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, understand the comparison here. He says, He's addressing humans. He says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask Him? Don't be afraid to ask God. Don't be afraid to ask Him for those things you need indeed. But we can become, if we're not careful, we can become like a spoiled child whose parent indulges them and gives and gives and gives to them, not withholding anything. And that child can come to the place where they think they deserve that. They actually believe that they deserve all that their loving parents do for them. Looking at this crowd in these first few rows, I'm sure they don't take that for granted, do you? No, not at all. I saw at least one head say no. Well, they can take their parents' loving care for them for granted. Now, the other side of that, is that a responsible parent, a truly loving parent, will do those things he or she determines is in the best interest of their child or their children. We understand that, hopefully. Well, get this. Our Heavenly Father always, you hear that? He always does what is in our best interest. He always, now get it, whether we understand at the time or not, gives us His very best, accomplishes His will in our lives for our good and, of course, for His glory. Now, we need to be sensitive to the reality that our God, though He is deity, is also has personality. And that our taking His blessings and gifts for granted can grieve Him. I think that's evidenced in the passage from Luke chapter 17 that we read already. And we want to look at some things in this passage that might profit us in our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and to our Heavenly Father. In those verses, verses 11 tells us that He was making His way to Jerusalem, and He passed through some villages in Samaria and Galilee. And we read in verses 12 and 13 about some needy men. In fact, we read about 10 needy men. It says, "And as He entered into a certain or particular village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Now, it may seem to us very unusual to be approached by 10 lepers. Obviously, that is extremely unusual in our day, but not so in the first century, in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. Leprosy was very, very common. And we see in this how they were observing the law. The law. What we read there? They stood afar off. Afar off. They stood afar, as was required by the law of Moses. They were required a social distance, if you will. In fact, we read from Leviticus, Moses' words in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46. And it says this concerning leprosy. It says, "All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall be his habitation be." Lepers were to keep their distance from the rest of the population. And so that found them gathering together in different locations, different places, outside of the villages and cities where the population, for the most part, dwelt. When we see them in verse 13, crying out them for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. They acknowledge Him as their Master, or in that sense, Lord. The word that we also translate Lord. They, again, from afar, that required distance, they call out for the Lord to show them what? Mercy. Mercy. They are pleading with Jesus to do for them in their need. We can assume, safely assume, that their desire was that the Lord Jesus Christ would heal them. As Jesus was traveling through, whether it was Judea or Galilee, and sometimes through Samaria, He healed folks everywhere He went. And these men, these 10 men, hear about Jesus coming by, and they go to Him seeking His mercy. And so in reaction to that, we see His act of mercy on them in verse 14. When He saw them, isn't that significant? In my mind it is. When He saw them, He had pity on them. He saw them in that wretched condition that leprosy had left them. When He saw them, He said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it shall come to and it came to pass, excuse me, that as they went, they were cleansed. Kind of a strange command. He didn't just declare them healed here. No. Rather, Jesus gives them instruction. In fact, the master here, the Lord Jesus Christ, gives them legal instruction. Why did the Lord Jesus tell them to go see the priest? Well, it was also part of the law of Moses. When a person was cleansed, when their leprosy was gone, they had to go to the priest under the law of Moses, who the priest was the only person that after investigation and examination could pronounce that person clean in that they could return or rejoin society, re-enter society. What was Jesus actually saying to these men? He's telling them, you're clean. You are healed. You have been cleansed. All they had to do was obey him and go to the priest. Through that simple obedience to the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, they were healed. Notice those words. We'll look at it a little more. As they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Master's intervention here. Now, I often say this. I'm not a Greek scholar. I like to do word studies and investigate into the languages. But the words here indicate that as they were departing, as they were tarred, the idea is as they were leaving. This may not be a big deal, but I pick up here that Jesus told them to go to the priest for that inspection. And as they turned in obedience to his word, they were healed. They were cleansed. In the two verses here, we see in verse 14, it says they were cleansed. That one said, when he saw that he was healed, they're synonymous. As they were healed, they were cleansed of that hideous disease of leprosy. Jesus intervened in their behalf. Wow. Their obedience to the Lord's instruction through them brought their cleansing, brought their healing. Now, just a quick note. Just a little side note here. There is blessing in simple obedience to the Word of God. We spent several Sunday evenings reviewing that very truth. But there's blessing in obeying the Word of God. There's eternal blessing when you obey. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Beloved, as I shared in our Sunday school class, that's in the form of a command. That word believe is a command. Humanity is commanded to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believe are forgiven of sin, receive everlasting eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you say that's a blessing? That's an eternal blessing. But there's also present physical blessing when you obey. Now listen to these words. See if you can pick it up. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, familiar words. It says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation has to do with lifestyle in every area of life. He goes on to say, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Word of God. Now, you might ask, where's the blessing in that, preacher? I don't understand what your point is. But I believe it's very simple. Very simple indeed. Obedience to that simple command. Be ye holy. What does that mean? Set your life as consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Live holy. Now, what will that entail? It'll entail living in obedience to the Word of God. Now, still, where do you see the blessing? Very simple, as we said. Obedience to that simple command, and you don't ever have to worry about coming under some addiction. Alcoholism, drugs, whatever it might be. Obeying that simple command. You never have to worry about being jailed for crime. Right? Because you're living an obedient life to Jesus Christ. You're living a holy life. There's immediate present blessing in obedience to the Word of God. A holy life. Wow. What we see as we go on here in the passage, the thanksgiving of this one. The thanksgiving of one man in verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And he, the passage says, was a Samaritan. This one acknowledges God's healing. Verse 15, he acknowledges that healing from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the question is obvious. Why did only one cleansed leper return to thank Jesus? Well, in studying, I came across, interestingly, a reason for each one of the nine that did. Came across nine suggested reasons why those nine did not return to give Jesus thanks. See, I hopefully none of these would be convicting to us today. Well, one of them waited to see if the cure was for real. One waited to see if it would last. One said that he would thank Jesus later. Another decided that he had never really had leprosy. Must not have been real leprosy. One said, I'd have gotten better anyway. One gave the glory to the priests. One said, oh, well, I don't think Jesus really did anything. And one said, any old rabbi could have done the same thing. Really? The last one said, oh, I could tell I was already improving. Really? Oh my. Again, understanding that those nine are just a sample of excuses that are often given to rationalize away or explain away the work of God in people's lives. How God does. Question is, what's our excuse? What's our excuse for not giving glory for what God has done and He is doing for us continually in our lives? Are we focusing on how we think? Now listen. Are we focusing on how we think things, you name it, ought to be in our lives? Or thanking God, are we giving ourselves to being thankful to God for what He is doing in our lives? Continually. He's continually doing. I don't know as we even begin to comprehend what God is doing continually, every moment of every day on each of our behalves. This one, he returned, and we see here that he actively gave God the glory. He actively glorified God, as we read there in verse 15. And it's significant that the Holy Spirit sees fit here to record for us that the man not only glorified God, but what's it say? He glorified God with a loud voice. He didn't shrink back. He wasn't afraid of what the other nine might think. Those around him. He'd been cleansed. He'd been healed. And he wanted to give God glory for it. In fact, we not only find him with that loud voice giving God glory, he runs to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and falls on his face before him. And what does it say? Giving him thanks. Again, I don't want to labor this, but the idea of the way the words are there is that he didn't just go and say, thank you, Jesus. He didn't just go and say, thank you, Jesus, with a loud voice. The idea of the words in our verse is the idea that he just went on and on and on, thanking Jesus and giving him glory. And again, with a loud voice. He wanted everyone to know what Jesus had done for him. Amen. We see the thankfulness of the one. But we also see the thanklessness. Is that a word? The thanklessness of the nine in these last few verses. Verse 17, and here's where we began our message. Is it possible for God to be grieved when we're not as grateful and thankful as we should be? We don't return that gratitude, that thankfulness to him. Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not 10? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. This stranger. We'll look at that in a moment. It's easy. It should be easy for us to understand the one man's gratitude. But the other side of that is that it should be very hard to understand the ingratitude of the other 9. They received the same cleansing, the same healing. And can we sense disappointment in the Lord's words? Seems we can. Disappointment that only one of the 10 returned to give him thanks. Now, had the 9 took for granted what the master had done for them? They had heard the stories. They knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was constantly, continually doing for needy folk in his earthly ministry. And like that spoiled child, it may be they just came to expect it. Could we be guilty of that? We receive his blessings moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, we year after year. God grants us his care, his blessing. We pray for loved ones. We pray for our family, for God's protection, his care, his provision. And he gives it. Are we there to give him and express to him our gratitude for those things? Thanking him for all that he does for us. Fortunately, this one man did recognize that wonderful gift that he received from the master. And note here that the Lord Jesus mentions that he was a stranger. What do you mean by that? Well, the couple of verses before it says, and he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan. He was a member of that group of people that lived there north of Judea, between Judea and Galilee, known as Samaria. They were, I don't know what the best way to describe them. They was a mixture of the Jews that were left in the land when Nebuchadnezzar carried folks off, the Jews off, and the the nations around them that were Nebuchadnezzar brought in to populate the land. The Samaritans were the product of that. And they had a synchronistic religion, kind of a mixture. They brought in a little bit of the things concerning the law of Moses, and they brought in all the world stuff of the nations from which they came. And it was really just a mess. And Jesus mentions that this Samaritan, a stranger to the blessings of Israel, and he's the one that comes back and expresses his gratitude, hails the Lord for his great blessing in giving him his healing. Huh? Now your parents, understand this. But you ever notice how when the neighbor kids are at your house, they're polite? Thank you, Mrs. So-and-so. Thank you, sir. Excuse me. You ever notice that? Well, your kids do the same thing when they go to their house. What's the message? We take for granted those we're closest to. We take for granted those who do so much, and certainly it's possible for us to take for granted the blessings of our God. God's people, His own children, can tend to take all those blessings that we continue to receive for granted. It's sad. It's sad when lost people, in their ignorance, again, they don't understand even what they're doing many times, but they're quick to give God more glory than sometimes God's people are. That should not ought to be. Should not be. Might we remember to do as the one did and not fail to express continually, on and on, our gratitude to the Lord, our thankfulness to Him. Well, how are we going to do that? How should we do that? Well, I think there's a few ways that we can suggest. Pretty simple, really. First, live for God daily. Live for God all the time. You know what? Living for God isn't something that goes on only between 11 and noon on Sunday. I know you've got a long-winded preacher. It goes to maybe a quarter after. But it's not by the hour a week. Living for God is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, continually. The best way to show God how much we appreciate His gifts to us is to live for Him. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says this. It says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just," those that are saved, "the just shall live by faith." Moment by moment, living in trust and faith to God. The best way to show Him your gratitude is to live for Him. And along with that, secondly, give God glory, as we saw here in this one man, this Samaritan, give God glory publicly. Publicly. Tell others about what God has done for you. Shame on us when we're ashamed to speak up for God. Or we allow the world to intimidate us and we withdraw into our little shell. Hey, it's wonderful to be here together with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's wonderful to gather together to worship the Lord. And it's easy here to say our amens and praise God. But how about tomorrow morning when you're on the job? And when you get off to the schoolhouse, wouldn't it be, there's been some times when I've been in our Walmart and they actually had what I wanted on the shelf. And I felt like shouting, praise God! In these days, why don't we? Who knows? We just might stir up a conversation with somebody. Get to talk to them about the Lord. Give God glory publicly. Tell others about what God's done for you. Speak up for Him. Psalm 111 verse 1. Psalm 111 verse 1 says this. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. What did we read as we began our message in Psalm 103? Bless ye the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits. Whatever we're doing, let's give God glory. Wherever we are. And along with that, live God for God daily. Give God glory publicly. But do it continually. Do it continually. When has God stopped blessing you? Amen. Thank you. When has God ever stopped blessing us? When should we stop thanking Him? Ephesians 5:20 says this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. You know those words. Giving thanks always. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. When should we stop thanking Him? Never. Be continually giving Him the glory and the honor and the praise for all that He's done for us. One of the verses we looked at last week, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, right? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to fulfill God's will? Give Him thanks. Give Him thanks. And then, fourthly, love God openly. Love Him openly. John 14, verse 15 says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Do you love the Lord? Do you love Jesus Christ? Then obey Him. Obey Him. Probably, and I shared this in our Sunday school class this morning, my estimation, the most important of all of God's commands, you want to obey the Lord? The most important of all His commands to us is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's where it all starts. That word believe in the verse, it's in the form of a command. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that it? Amen. It's where it all begins, right? In faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you don't. And as I was sharing with our Sunday school class, the most common response is you ask folks out in the world, are you saved? And what do they say? Well, I hope so. Are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. And you can respond, what? When they say, I hope so, you can tell them, you can know so. Hallelujah. I remember sharing that with somebody once, and as I asked them, do you know if you're saved? And they said, well, I hope so. And they said, I hope I'm going to heaven. And I responded and said, well, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Can you imagine what their next response was? Who do you think you are? That's understood. Who do you think you are? From their perspective, we can understand that. Because they're banking on what? Their hope is in what? That along the way, I've been good enough. I've done enough. I've whatever enough. And so for me to say, or for you to say, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. Is to be, in their mind, what? Bragging about how good you are. But we understand, if you're saved, you understand that it has absolutely nothing to do with how good you are, but how good God is. Amen. And what He's done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed. We can know that we're saved. I'm thankful that God was pleased to write it down for us so that we can share that with those ones. In 1 John chapter 5, those familiar verses there in verses 11 and 12, where John writes and he says, and this is the record. This is the truth. This is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12 goes on and says, He, now this is it. This is the condition. Not my goodness, not your goodness, not what we've done. No. The condition is, He that hath the Son hath life, eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We can break it down any way you want, but the result, it still comes down to those two contrasts. Those who have the Lord Jesus Christ are saved and on their way to glory. Those who have not the Lord Jesus Christ are still in their sin, lost and perishing. Are you grateful? Are you grateful today? Are you thankful for what God has done for you? Tell the world. Tell the world, live for Christ. Live boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Father, thank you. Lord, I know those words don't cross my lips enough. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for loving this world of people, this world of humanity, so much that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, including one day a young man by the name of Jim Turner, believeth in Him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for your Son. And Lord, I thank you for your continued grace and mercy, your provision. Oh, Lord, your keeping, your protection, the hedge of your care and love in our lives. Oh, God, thank you today for my brothers and sisters in Christ, the church family. Thank you, Father. For every good, every perfect gift we receive from your hand. And Lord, today I want to pray. I want to ask you to please, please work in hearts in this auditorium. Lord, I'm thankful for every person in this room that is saved and knows they're saved. Father, I pray for that one, maybe some, that are here and don't have that peace, don't have that assurance of where they'll spend eternity when they take that last breath here. Father, please, in Jesus' name, hold up your son. Hold him up to that one that today, this day, right now, might be that moment of salvation for them. Thank you, Lord, for working in our hearts. Thank you for working in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 163.
As we sing, beloved, please, as always, you know these altars are open for whatever the Lord may be doing in your heart. And indeed, if you're here and, oh my, I don't want to take anything for granted. You may be here today and you realize you need to be saved. You need to have Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord. Please, we're here for you to pray with you, point you to Jesus. Obey Him. Do what He would say to you to do. As we sing.
Come every soul, Thy sinners,
we try.
have a great God that's able to do so much, so exceeding abundantly, as we say, as the Word of God says, above all that we ask or think. And, you know, my own life, we can get so busy and doing ministry, busy in ministry and doing things for God, that we forget that without God, it's meaningless. It's just flesh. It's just us. But when God is involved and when He's doing and working, it's a miraculous thing. It's a supernatural thing where God is on the scene, being pleased to work in hearts and lives. You know, in an auditorium like this today, I don't know anyone's heart here but mine. Let me hold that. Amen. Thank you, Sister Alice, for being willing to get in an altar and pray. She wants God to use her. Huh? Some of us too proud to get in an altar. I don't ever want to get so proud. I don't want to get flat on my face before God and when He tells me to. Amen. When He wants us to respond to the Word of God, to what He says to us. Amen. It's been good. Amen. See you tonight. Brother John, come.
Sing our chorus 263, The Lord is Good.
The Lord is good.